in Jesus' name this morning. And we love you, and we're thankful, God, that you come, that you have come, and Lord, through a virgin womb and took upon you the form of a servant. You suffered for us, you bled, you died. And then on that third day, you rose again victoriously from the grave. Father, we're thankful for that this morning, and because of that, we can say amen. You are my Savior, Father, and I trust that you're everyone's Savior here this morning. And Lord, we've come to worship you. We've come to honor you this morning. And I pray that you'd bless, Lord, the singing this morning. And Father, bless Brother Allen, the musicians, the choir. Help us to just put a pause and a slow speed on everything. Let us not rush through church this morning, but slow down a bit and get in line with you. Father, it's the Lord's Day, and it's time where your word is opened, and Father, you speak to the hearts of your people. I'm excited this morning concerning what you may have. And I know there's some here this morning that is seeking direction in their life. God, we pray that you would shine light upon their pathway. Perhaps there's some this morning that are sick in body. We pray that you'd heal them. Maybe there's some this morning that in spirit they're beat up and downtrodden. We pray that by the end of this morning's service that they will be uplifted and their joy will be restored. And if there's one amongst us this morning that doesn't know you personally, I pray today would be the day of salvation for them. And Father, as we're getting ready to mention those on our prayer list, and like to do things different each service as much as we can, but there's many on our prayer list. We do pray for each and every one of them. You know exactly who needs what. We love you. We thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to welcome everyone this morning to Calvary Baptist Church. Say it's good to see you. Hope everybody's had a good week this week. And let's do remember some folks this morning. And I believe the children's home has already returned from Florida. But they're at a meeting this morning, I do believe. But saying that, this evening will be our youth Sunday evening, and the youth will be carrying the services, and Brother Brian will be preaching, and so we're looking forward to that. Our young people will be singing, and looking forward to that. Do still have some vacationing, and so let's remember them, and as they're coming and going. As we do every Sunday, we have a lengthy prayer list. But I do want the church to remember Brother Arnold McCrickard. I got word the other day that he has an aneurysm just above his heart area. Brother Don Nettles told me. And so that's Arnold and Emily McCrickard. Let's remember him. We're going to reach out to him this week and find out the specifics. Brother Bob Gladden, one of our shut-ins, had to have a leg amputated, and so let's remember Brother Bob in our prayers with his recovery and in therapy. Miss Connie Teague, she's at home this morning with bronchitis. Remember my wife's grandmother, she fell last night and possibly broke her shoulder, and so she's at Cobb Hospital. Remember her. Brother Rusty Watkins had surgery. He's at home recovering. He's doing better. Brother Harold's with us this morning. Any updates on your... Praise the Lord. Brother Harold had a mild stroke, and then waiting other test results and all, but he said just praising the Lord this morning. And so we praise the Lord. We praise the Lord as well with Miss Shirley Townsend. That's up in the choir. And Miss Shirley received some good news this past week that she does not have cancer in her right lung. And so let's give a round of applause for that. And on your the prayer portion in your bulletin, I put continued chemo. Let me just rephrase that, discontinued chemo. And so remember that. We praise the Lord for that, what the Lord's doing in her life with that. Let's also remember Miss Norma Karanovich. She's at home in hospice care. Remember Miss Cassie, as she's taking care of her. and drop a card, make a phone call to these people I've mentioned this morning would be great, as we will do the same. Barbara Anderson. Again, these were just some specifics right on the surface that are in need of our prayers, and so let's remember them as we pray each and every time. And again, this evening will be our youth service. I want to say it's good to be here this morning, come to worship. I hope you have too. And it's amazing what God can do. Doesn't matter if there's one here or a thousand here. When God's people are here and connected together in truth and deed, in worship, God can do amazing things. And so we're looking for him to speak this morning and do something mighty in our presence. Brother Allen.
Choir, would you stand with me? In the key of... with us this morning and sing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will Would you sing that with me one more time, church? Just worship this morning. Church, you can be seated. Choir, you can be seated. Please do remember all of the prayer requests that have been given this morning. Some are going through some very difficult times. And please also remember, young folks, 19 and under, don't forget to make out your little sheet, your favorite Bible verse. There's a little bucket. Bronze container, bucket right over to my right, your left. Drop it in there. If that yours is chosen, you get $5. Look at there. I believe Trail is passing out some paper. You passing out paper back here from right on? Okay, all right, bro. I think Trail's trying. He's trying to get him $5. I know what you do, bro. If you will, though, 19 and under, your favorite Bible verse, drop it in the bucket, your left, my right. If yours is chosen, you get $5. It'll be placed on the sign, okay? The sign ministry, and they're going to... It's a great, great ministry. Gets our young folks involved in the Word of God. Amen? That's what it's all about. So we're very thankful for that. Also, I believe I was supposed to mention something. Don't forget the book on the Revelation. 107 that we know of have gone out. They have made more up, and we're going to try our best to get more out. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. Amen? Somebody give Jesus a hand clap of praise right there. He's worthy. We mentioned this in our Sunday school class this morning. How many of you believe that we need to pray for our president? Amen? We need to lift him up in prayer. The leaders of our nation, the leaders of our community, they need prayer. Amen? Our pastor needs prayer. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. We just need to pray for one another. Amen? If we've ever lived in a time we need to pray for one another, it's now. And we just need to lift one another up in prayer, ask God to be with each other, and God to have his hand upon us as a church, as a community, as a nation. So let's go to the Lord in word of prayer and ask the Lord just to give us a great day. Do pray for our youth for this evening, and Brother Brian will come. He'll do a great job this evening. And pray for those that will be bringing the music portion of our service as well. All those that will be involved in the service tonight for our youth service, just remember them in prayer. And come back and support them tonight. They always do a tremendous job. We want to support them in the ministry tonight. So let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Brother Don, would you lead us and ask God's blessing on the offering as well this morning? They were crossing the calm sea with Jesus. The disciples were getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing, but he was asleep in the stern. Does he not care that we perish? We're helpless and we're so afraid. But Jesus arose when they called him and said to them, where is your faith? Because you've prayed all night, 'cause you've held on with all of your might, child, your prize, have awoken the Master. He knows your voice. If your the Master. It hit you without any warning. The storm of your life had begun. But seeing no hope in the distance, you're frightened and nowhere to run. By now your vessel is filling, and you're thinking that you'll surely drown. You've cried out for help from the Savior, and you know you can't give up now, because you prayed all night, 'cause you've held on with all of your might, child, your cries have awoken the Master. He knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. You're up there worried while he's fast asleep. The winds are so deadly, the water's so deep. But try to be patient, 'cause he'll soon bring peace. Just one word from his voice and it all must cease. Because you prayed all night, 'cause you held on. Because you prayed all night, 'cause you've held on with all of your might, child, your cries have awoken the Master. He knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. Church, why don't you stand with me this morning as the choir comes down? Take a moment, just fellowship. Turn to somebody, about 10 people this morning. Tell them it's good to see them in the house of the Lord as the choir comes down this morning. Thank you.
Amen. Lord is aware of everything. I'm glad our cries definitely get His attention. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Old Testament book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 4. Harold has it. Good to hear it again, brother. Proverbs chapter number 4. And we're going to read two verses, verse number 25, and then we're going to read verse number 27. It just goes with the flow of our message this morning. We're not skipping verse number 26 for any specific reason other than keeping the verses on the same path. Let's pray, and then I want to begin reading verse number 25 out of Proverbs 4. Father, we come one more time in Jesus' name. Lord, we're so thankful that You are aware of everything going on in the world, our situation, and beyond. You have all power and all knowledge. And because of that, we need not worry. Everything is under control and in Your power. We love You. We pray that You'd use us for the next few moments. Let Your word be light. Let it be life. And we pray that somebody's heart and somebody's mind would be renewed today, and that they may leave with joy in their hearts and spring in their step. We love You, and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter number 4. Notice verse number 25. The Bible says in Proverbs 4, verse 25, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. In verse number 27, the Bible says, turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. I want to call your attention to a couple things out of these two verses this morning. That has specific emphasis on the subject this morning. In verse number 25, notice where the writer says, look right on. Then he says again in the same verse, look straight. There's this call for focus out of verse number 25 this morning. And then in verse number 27, he says, turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. So he's given attention here also for remaining focused, looking straight ahead, not turning to the right and not turning to the left. And these two verses this morning speak of focus and also progressing forward. Again, verse 25, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. That deals with focus and progressing forward. But in verse number 27, this speaks of hindrances and distractions. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. And so this morning we're looking at these two verses that deal with a call for concentration. As I began meditating on these two verses this week and thinking about looking straight and focusing and concentrating and not worrying about the things going on over here and not worrying about the things going on over here, I could not help to think about a certain piece of equipment that horses use. And horses this morning use various types of equipment, or at least their trainers use equipment on them. I got to thinking about a certain piece that horses use that are called blinders. They're called blinders. They're also known as blinkers. These blinders that horses use, they're for their use in order to block their panoramic view. Horses have their eyes kind of on the sides of their head. And so horses that have these eyes and so positioned, they have a panoramic view. Almost a view in 360 degrees viewpoint. Meaning that a horse can be looking, as I'm looking right at Brother Trail, a horse can see all the way around. I mean, just total focus all the way around. It's a panoramic view. On my phone that I have, when I want to take a picture, if I'm taking a picture of Brother David back there in the back, I'll aim it at him and shoot it. And not shoot him, but shoot the picture. And he'd get me before I get him. But take a picture of him. But if there's other things I'm wanting, like Brother Ceylon right here, and Brother Harold and Brother Charlie on this side, I go to where it says panoramic view, and it tells me to aim it here and scan and hold it, and I go all the way around, and my picture will not just be Brother David, but it would be Brother Ceylon all the way around, panoramic view. You see, when it comes to horses, they have a panoramic viewpoint. And so in a race or pulling a buggy, if these horses did not have on their blinders, it would result in a very detrimental and perhaps devastating performance or end. I get to thinking about the Christian life, and I'm reminded often that as believers, we need to put on spiritual blinders. These spiritual blinders block our peripheral vision. Horses have panoramic view. We have a peripheral vision. I can look straight ahead, but I can see some stuff over here and some stuff here, but then this blindness back here. Well, in the spiritual realm, there is such a thing as spiritual blinders. And in order for us to run our race with joy and victory, we must apply these spiritual blinders. And so this morning, with that thought in mind, I want to preach to you on that subject, spiritual blinders. Spiritual blinders. I want to make some parallels between blinders and spiritual blinders. Those are the ones that horses use in comparison to the ones that were to apply every day that we live in order to run our race with joy and victory. Number one, blinders are for focus. A horse would be forced, listen to this, a horse would be forced to focus on their trainer while wearing blinders. And as believers, we need to keep our focus straight ahead on Jesus. We're here in Proverbs. Turn to the New Testament for a moment, if you would, to Hebrews chapter number 12. A horse that would wear blinders would block their panoramic viewpoint. And it would force them to look straight ahead at their trainer. Again, as believers, we need to focus on Jesus so that we would be blocked from any distractions that may go on in life. Hebrews 12, I want you to notice in verse number 2. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. This verse tells us to look unto Jesus. Why are we to look unto Jesus? Well, the Bible says because he's the author of our race. He's the author of our faith. He's the one who started our faith walk. He's the one who established it. He's the one that blazed the trail. He's the one that bled, suffered, and died. And he was the one who was raised victoriously on the third day. Not only he's the author, but he's the finisher. He's been here. He's done that. He himself has dealt with distractions and knows what it's like to deal with things in life while he was the God-man here on earth. He experienced temptations, yet without sin. He experienced pain and sorrow, yet without giving in to it. And yet He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And so as we trod our Christian pathway in life, and there's many distractions among us. There's all kinds of things going on over here in the world. And there's all kinds of things going on over here in the world. But we need to apply spiritual blinders, as the horses do, so we can focus on our Master, the one who has been here, the one who has done that, the one who has the T-shirt and gives the T-shirts to us as we accomplish our missions. He's the author. He's the finisher of our faith. And because of that, we need to look unto Jesus. And so blinders are for focus. We're in Hebrews 12. I forgot to tell you, it's kind of going to be like a Bible drill this morning. Hebrews 12. Now turn to Matthew 17. Matthew 17 for a moment. Or you can just follow along on the screen. Thank you, guys. Matthew 17. This was the Mount Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John were called to go with Jesus up on this mountain. And Jesus was transfigured. He was transformed. And that which was on the inside showed up on the outside. And they seen Jesus in His glory. But look down in verse number 8 of Matthew 17. The Bible says, "And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only." What would that be like in life? To live our Christian lives where we're not worried about what man thinks. We were not worried about what man says. We're not distracted with the busyness of man's matters. And we're not distracted with all the hoopla that goes on in life that tries to distract us. But how would it be if we just focused in on Jesus? The Bible says when they were on that mountain that they saw no man save Jesus only. Blinders this morning are for focus. Let us keep our eyes on the Lord. Let me say this. I believe many times God allows us to be in situations where we realize the need for blinders. You may be here this morning and be in a situation that you may feel like you're in over your head. Maybe God has positioned you there so that you'll be forced to focus on Him. Because when life is at its best, Miss Shirley, when life is at its best, we don't have to focus on Him, do we? But when we're in the storms of life and we are in over our heads, we are positioned to focus on Jesus. Sometimes in life, God allows things to happen and He positions us where we have to apply these blinders. Say, "Lord, I don't understand this. And Lord, I don't understand that. Only thing I do understand is that I'm supposed to keep my eyes on You. You got me here. Lord, You have sustained us in life. You started this faith walk. You finished this faith walk. I'm not worried about that, but I'm focusing on You, Jesus." We see this morning that blinders are for focus, but then God positions us in life where we realize that we must focus on Him. We're in Matthew 17. Turn back a page or two to your left to Matthew 14. Peter was in a situation where he had to make a choice. Matthew 14. Notice in verse number 24. "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." Peter and some disciples were in the ship. Here's the storm. He's in a boat in the sea. He was against the odds. Have you ever been in a place in your life where you felt like you were against the odds? He was against the odds. Peter couldn't get out, not as of yet, and walk on water. Probably didn't even think about the concept of walking on water. He was in a storm, and the storm was demanding a response from him. Peter could either A, just crumble with fear. He could call it quits, jump out of the boat and sink to the bottom. But Jesus came, and when Jesus came, He said, "Lord, if that be You, bid me to come on the water." Notice, if you would, in verse number 28, "And Peter answered Him and said, 'Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Peter was lined up for walking on water. This situation you're in is about to kill you. You're in trouble. You're in a struggle. You're in a storm in life. You're in a valley. But could it be that God is positioning you to focus on Him to walk on water? Talking about a miracle in your situation. Talking about rising to new heights in your relationship with God. What are you going to do? Quit? You want to jump out of the boat and call it quits? Or are you going to put on blinders and know that this storm is demanding a response from you and you focus on Jesus? I don't care about this and I can't do nothing about that, but I have to do something. And so right here and right now, because of the demands of this storm, I am focusing on you, Jesus. Peter, he was forced to respond. How are you going to respond? How are you responding to what you're going through today? Those that are listening, and I know people listen in our services. All of you that are listening this morning, and I've talked to some of you lately, and you said, I would be at church, but what are you doing with your situation? I think it's time for all of us, those that are listening, those in the church, your pastor, me, myself, need to stop looking at things on the right and things on the left and focus on Jesus in the center and do His good will. I had two people this morning, and listen, legitimate things. And some say, I'm not going to be there this morning, and I appreciate that, and I don't have to do that, but they respect God and God's divine order, and I'm not going to be there, Brother Justin, and praying for you, and you know, and we know, you know, Brother Rusty, he's recovered from surgery, and then, he, you know, he was kind enough just to let us know and won't be here, and, you know, and another one right behind him, another one right behind him, and, you know, and I know things happen. Listen, I was sick this week. Man, I don't like getting sick. And I'm better now, but things happen. And sometimes in life, I think that we're just focusing on these things here and the situations here we don't understand. And we lose our vigor and we lose our fervor and we lose our passion and we lose our focus on Christ. And Brother Justin, I'm not going to be there this morning. Let me say this morning, I want to text back sometimes and say, well, where's your focus at? What's really going on? Is it this situation over here with this person? Or is it you're defeated by the devil? Listen, the best place for you to be this morning is the house of God. Amen. Peter, he was in this boat, but yet he was walking on water. In order for you to walk on water, there has to be a focus. And we know in verse number 30, there's the word but. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? That's always the case, isn't it? It's when God starts to do supernatural things with us. But, listen, we're all human. And we encounter things. And Peter, when he saw the... And listen, the storm was there before Jesus showed up. And Peter experienced walking on water, and now all of a sudden he's focused on that storm again. Blinders are necessary. Blinders allow us to focus on Christ where life doesn't make sense, yet we're taking God at His word. Because we have a family to raise. We have a church to lead. We have souls that need to be won to Christ. And we leave all the rest up to Jesus. We see that blinders are for focus. And as believers, we need to keep our focus upon Christ. God many times allows us to be in these straits of life so that we might see the need of focusing on Him. And that's what happened to Peter. Number two this morning. Not only blinders are for focus, but blinders are for freedom. A horse would be free from distraction with blinders on. And as believers, we too are free from distraction with spiritual blinders on. The horse, I have a picture there. You can barely see. It's like a little bit of a blinder. There are some that go completely like this. I mean, just depending on what the job is. Picture spiritually, if we could just do this. Okay, Lord, I'm going to follow You. There's storms on my right. There's storms on my left. There's family situations. There's family elements. People are sick. All these things going on. I don't understand, Lord, but I'm focusing on You. That's walking on water territory. You know what it's like to walk on water with Jesus? It's you don't quit and you keep going. That's walking on water with Jesus. You don't quit. You keep on going. But there's freedom. Focusing on Him and moving forward with Him. And listen, this is an exercise. It's an accomplished at one time. It's not even accomplished overnight. It takes times of learning what works and what don't work. Lord, my way doesn't work. I can't understand. I got to focus on You. It happens over time and we mature into this. But blinders bring freedom. You can follow along or look on the screen if you like. But in Genesis 12:10, I want you to notice a couple things here. And then in Ruth chapter number 1 about freedom from distraction. Blinders are for freedom. Freedom from distraction. And in Genesis chapter 12 in verse number 10, Abraham was distracted by famine. The Bible says in verse number 10 of Genesis 12, and there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt. Listen to this next word, or next two words, to sojourn. That word sojourn. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. This word sojourn means to turn to the side, off the road. What was our main verses? Turn not to the left, turn not to the right, look straight. Abraham turned to the side. Sojourn means a temporary stay, to turn off to the side temporarily. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Abraham lost his focus. And he turned to the side. And Egypt is a picture of the world. And Egypt looked plentiful. Egypt had resources. Egypt had plenty. But the place that God put him was the place where God's perfect will was. There in Canaan. But yet it got dry in Canaan. Things kind of lost their moisture in Canaan. There was a famine in Canaan. But guess what? That was God's place. And Abraham said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to turn to the side just for a little while for resources. And I want to say that's what gets a lot of people out of their local church. That's what gets a lot of people in trouble is when they don't wait on God and they second guess God. Well, God, it's dry here. I thought You told me to come here. We all have to experience spiritual dryness. It's all about the wrestle in our relationship with Christ. It's all about going after Him. It's not a free ride with Jesus. Salvation was a free gift. But our service and relationship, sometimes in the perfect will of God, it gets dry. Sometimes in God's perfect will, it gets restless sometimes. It gets hard sometimes. Yeah, but we see that Abraham, he was distracted and he sojourned for a while in Egypt. We know what happened. Lied about his wife. Rebuked by Pharaoh. And all the rest. Turn to Ruth chapter 1. I want you to notice something else. That word sojourn is here as well. Ruth chapter number 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn, turned aside from the road for a while. He went to sojourn in the country of Moab, also known as God's washpot. Moab. Now, the Bible says he and his wife and his two sons, verse 2, and the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratitus of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Keep in mind, they're coming from Bethlehem. Bethlehem is known as the house of bread. House of bread. They were where God wanted them. But there was a famine there. And Elimelech and Naomi went to Moab. They turned aside. It's not happening here, so I'm going to go. Or it's not happening here, I'm going to go this way to Moab. Soldier, turn aside. They did. Guess what happened? Naomi lost her husband in Moab. Naomi lost Mahlon and Chilion, her sons, in Moab. Naomi was left with Ruth, her daughter-in-law. And now Naomi is going back to the house of bread. And she says, I left it. In fact, I don't want to misquote it. I want to read it specifically. Notice with me in Ruth chapter number 1. In verse 21, I went out full. She left Bethlehem full. Although it was a famine, she left full. Under her husband's guidance, I went out full. And the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? You see, there's nothing good when we turn aside and we remove our spiritual blinders and we're distracted with everything in the world, and the devil's after us, our flesh is after us. There's people talking and people fighting, and we lose our focus from God. The devil wants nothing more to get caught up in these distractions, because he wants us to lose our momentum in life. Happened to Abraham, and it happened to Elimelech and his family, and Naomi came home bitter. I'm trying to say this morning that these blinders offer freedom, although Abraham and Naomi paid the price due to not focusing on the Lord. They were distracted. They were distracted. Sometimes in life, sin distracts, can distract, allure us. Sports can distract. But also our past can distract us. Our past can distract us, and we can be thinking about things we wish we had done differently, and we're thinking about, well, if I didn't do this, or if I would have done that, or I've got sports going on. Sports are fine as long as sports don't own you, and got this and that going on, my past, and I wish things were different. Listen, you're losing your focus to move forward. And a lot of times those kind of things can distract you. But with blinders in place, there's no way. There's no how. You may be in a place of strain and stress, trying to focus on Jesus and not being distracted. Philippians chapter number 3. I told you it'd be Bible drill. Philippians chapter number 3. Notice what Paul says about the past. Past. The past can be a second ago. The past can be a century ago. But in Philippians 3, verse number 13, Paul says, I wear spiritual blinders. In verse 3, chapter 3, verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He says, I press toward. It's not easy. I press. It's never easy. But Paul says, I can't get caught up in the past. I have to press. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. We see that Paul said that there's a benefit from these blinders, spiritual blinders. There's a benefit from focusing on Christ, as hard as it is at times. I have to press onward to do so. And he says, I have a tendency to forget about my past. It would benefit a lot of us to do the same. Focus on Him. Forget about the past. And move forward with Jesus. Let me mention one more thing. Not only blinders are for focus, blinders are for freedom, but blinders are forever. A horse would always need the use of blinders to reach that highest level of performance, no matter how old the animal was. As believers, none of us, doesn't matter if you've been saved 10 minutes or 100 years, if you're 100, and you got saved when you were born. Always, there's going to be distractions. Job chapter number 1, you can just listen. I know your thumbs are getting tired. Job chapter number 1, find my place here. You know the story. Job was a man of health and wealth and family. In fact, in verse 1 of Job 1, the Bible says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And we know that Satan was looking. In verse number 7, he was going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And he was looking for somebody that would turn on God. In verse number 8, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man, mature man, an upright man, one that feareth God and eschewed evil. God had confidence in Job. He had confidence in Job. And we know the story that a messenger came. Job, your cattle's gone. Another messenger. Job, your housings are gone. Job, and then finally your kids are gone. And finally after that, not only your kids are gone, but your home is gone. And then we know his wife cursed God and die. In verse number 20 of Job chapter number 1, the Bible says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Two things. In verse number 20, the word worshipped here comes from the word worth-ship. Job focused on the value of the person he was living for. You see, Job lost his family, his wealth, his health, yet he focused forward on God. In verse number 21, the word blessed is the same, and through the idea of eulogizing. Job said that I have nothing bad to say about God. As one would stand up and eulogize over the life of someone and bring out all those good aspects. Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I have nothing but good things to say about Him. We see no matter how old you get, how young, how old, blinders are forever. We know that Job finally, in verse number 8 of chapter 2, he scraped himself with a potsherd and sat down among the ashes. That was all that was left of Job. Everything he had. But yet his focus had to be on God. Job could have been concerned. And listen, the whole book of Job does account and give record of Job. Verse number 1 of chapter 3. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed his day. There were moments in Job's life after this experience where he wished that the day he was born didn't even happen because of the pain. But in his ripe old age that he was, he chose to focus on the Lord. He put the blinders on. No way he could forget. No way he could forget. But he had to put the blinders on enough to focus on the God that was able to move him along back into life. And so I don't know your situation this morning, but if you need to come and pray this morning, now is the time. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for your love, your grace, your kindness. I pray that you would bless the invitation time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Have thine own way, Lord.
Altars are open if you need to come and pray. Own.